Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
We're talking about money, and a lot of what we're talking about is based on a book, which I think we still have some available, Redeeming Money by Paul Tripp, and I want to encourage you to get that, and a lot of what I'm hitting comes from that. But this isn't a series about giving. As we've said, this is a series about money, because you could just give and be done, but money is a lot bigger and a lot more a part of our life. And so Jesus talked about money constantly because money competes for the throne of your heart. Matthew 6:21, and I want to do this. When I prompt you, I would love for you to just participate, fill in a word. So Matthew 6:21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So whatever you value, whatever you're putting your money into and stuff, that shows a lot about your heart. And Jesus knew that money and wealth would compete for our heart. He knew it. It's why he talked about it so much. And he used parables and stories to explain big kingdom concepts. And we're going to look at two quick ones today. Matthew 13. So these are two quick examples he gives. And again, would love your participation. So you can put that up. So we see the kingdom of heaven is like a
treasure
that a man discovered hidden in a
field.
In his excitement, he hid it again and he everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Okay, so that's one. That's a quick just example he gives of a parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a
pearl
of great value, he
sold
everything he owned and bought it. Okay, so he gives these two quick different examples. And he's talking, you know, just talking about the kingdom of God, that Christianity, the kingdom of heaven, is a treasure that is worth selling everything to obtain. It is worth giving up everything to obtain. Now, some of you are like the first man in the field. You've stumbled across God. Okay? If you've already found it, if you're like, I'm part of the kingdom and God's done a good work in me, maybe you're like the first man where you stumbled across God. You were invited to church randomly, or you were scrolling on TikTok and all of a sudden all these videos started coming up about God and you're like, what is this all about? Or you're out walking in the woods and you just have a moment of realization. Maybe you stumbled across God and you're like, man, this is what I've been looking for. Not as an add-on to my life, but holy cow, this is life. Jesus is everything, and I will give up. I will change my life. I will do what is needed to obtain this now that I have come across this, and I didn't even know I was looking for it. But some of you might be like the second man, where you're actively looking for something of value. That's what you've done your whole life. You are looking persistently. What is the answer to life? Is it sex? Is it money? Is it just people? Is it partying? Is it substances? I got to fill up this emptiness. I need to figure out what makes me feel whole. And you have been looking, and you're rooting through, and you're trying this. And I'll even try all the other religions. And, you know, is it Buddhism? Is it Islam? Is it that? Like, what is the thing? Is it just the universe and crystals and, like, all these things? Maybe I'll find it there. And then you come across in your search Jesus, and you're like, this is it. I didn't know exactly what I was looking for, but I know it now. This is it. Jesus is what I have always been looking for, and nothing else compares. Many of you know that. Some of you, you're going to find that, and you might stumble across God today, or you might be here, and you've like, I have looked for everything, and maybe it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Spoiler. Nothing else compares. Nothing else. He is the one true God above all things. He is our answer. So with this said, we hunt for treasure. We're driven to find the ultimate value, but it's a battle often between ourself and God, right? So I wanted to establish there's a hunger in us, but there's also this battle happening, which affects how we see every part of our lives, including money. Now, living in North America does not help. the place of selfishness and consumerism is all around us. Ads in front of us, algorithms studying us. And we are discipled daily to believe that newer is better, more equals security, comfort equals happiness, luxury equals success. We're disciplined to believe this. And we think of ourselves first, just naturally. Yeah. Okay? If we can be honest, I think the world out there is like, I'm not the problem, everything else is the problem. The difference about Christianity and the kingdom of God is we start with like, we're the problem, but Jesus saves us from ourselves, right? So we often think of ourselves first. What do I need? What do I want? What dream can money answer for me? If we're being honest. Even our generosity, if we're not careful or intentional, can be selfish. Like, I'm going to help orphan kids because it makes me feel good. Like, if you were bluntly honest, sometimes you're like, oh, I actually wonder if my generosity even is from a place of selfishness or whatever. So, with all that said, true biblical generosity is the antidote to consumerism. And it is probably one of the biggest things we face, specifically here in the Western, called Western church and the Western world. And the point of this series is to stir us up, to make us uncomfortable, to give us bigger and better thinking about money, all right? So we're thinking about money. You got your wallet, you got your purse, or it's all on your phone or whatever, and you're thinking about money, but I want to show you a picture. As followers of Jesus, we are called to embed, we're called to embed our personal money story, my personal money story, into the larger generosity of Scripture. Imagine just putting your purse, your wallet, your phone, whatever, your cash in that spot and saying, what this is not just for me. I'm a part of something bigger. That makes sense? That's what I want to show us today. Today is not just about like, how should I use this? Well, it's not about this. It's about this and what God is doing. And that's what we're going to take a look at. We're part of a bigger story. God's big story is a biblical story, and it's a generosity story. And I want to give you just a very quick overview of the whole Bible, of how lavishly generous God is. So I want to go through a few of these points. Number one, the generosity of creation. I mean, just think about it. Think about a sunset or the design of a jellyfish or a giraffe, the variations of fish in the world, the beauty of a flower, the thousands of different spices you could smell, the sounds, the smell of a lilac bush. God designed us to be able to fully enjoy his creation. He gave us, right, all our senses, taste, touch, sight, sound, and smell, to be able to embrace this. Creation is a generosity of God on physical display for all of us to see. And he's showcasing his awesomeness. So we can see right from the start, a generous God. He could have made everything like one color. And all the animals look the same. Like, but he didn't. Number two, the generosity of the covenant. So God makes this amazing world, but then we mess it up. Adam and Eve, and really any of us would have done the same. Bringing sin into the world, we rebel against him. And yet God invites a man named Abraham into covenant promise with him. Genesis 12 says, I will make you a great nation, and all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Do you have the verse? Okay. I only heard Chandler say it, so you gotta be with me. All right. So God made a promise, not because of what's in us, okay? He didn't come and he's like, oh, you guys are so amazing. I'll do whatever you want. You're the best. I'm obsessed with you. No. I mean, really, what do we have to offer God? But he made this promise because of what's in him. We can't earn what he offers. He just freely gives it. And God is generous, and his promises are generous. Number three, the generosity of freedom from slavery. So God raises up Moses. And this is like a whole kind of overview of the Bible. So if you haven't read this, go read the Bible. It's amazing. God raises up Moses. He frees Israelites from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. He made a promise that Israel would be a great nation, but he had to stop the bully, which is Egypt, that was standing in his way. Now, just for a minute, think differently about this, but the difference between our generosity and God's generosity. We make generous promises all the time. Call me day or night. I'm going to buy you that pony. Yes, I am. I would walk 500 miles. I'll do whatever for you. I'll make all these big promises. But then we get distracted. We get tired. We lose interest, or we're unable to deliver on our promise. But see, our generosity is fickle and faulty and conditional. But God is not. If he says he'll do something, he does it. Whether it's fast or slow, he does not forget. He does not fail. He does not turn his back. God generously uses his power to work through Moses, and he unleashes plagues till the bully relents, and he sets his people free. Which leads into four, to the generosity of the law. The Israelites are brought out of slavery, but they're vulnerable. Imagine, you've been a slave for 400 years. You don't know anything else. You are vulnerable, traumatized, powerless, directionless, and you don't know how to live. We've been told how to live. We've lived in this confined thing. How do we live? So God generously blesses them, with the wonderful practical gift of his law. How to honor God, how to interact with family, how to handle conflict, how to give justice out, how to do business, what to eat and where. He just needed to give them a new sense of identity. And yet the Israelites constantly break, twist, ignore his laws. We wouldn't have done any better. But God keeps reminding them over and over, if you follow these laws I've given you, they will lead you down the right path. My way is the best way. God's generosity did not come because his kids were super grateful. And if you are a parent, there are times you are generous, and it is not because your kids are so good at saying thank you. Sometimes you're like, you never say thank you, but I'm not doing this based on whether or not you say thank you. I'm doing it because I love you, right? Yes, it's very true. God shows that true generosity is always ignited by what's in the heart of the giver, not the receiver. Okay, so it is not about the receiver, whether or not I give. God gives because he is a generous God. Can you just say generous? He is generous. The generosity of the promised land. So then God in his generosity overlooks disobedience and grumbling, and he leads out of Egypt to the promised land. His generosity isn't just a gift for right now when you're being good. Oh, you're doing so good. Okay, I'll give you something. No. His generosity is an investment in legacy. God doesn't abandon Israel. Because eventually, through Israel, he will produce his most generous gift. Right. Do you know what that is? The generosity of the nativity. The greatest definition of generosity is found in John 3:16. Do it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So the people continue to disobey and rebel, and God's response is not abandonment and destruction. Okay? He's already been down that road. He's already promised. Remember the covenant of Noah? He's already promised, I'm not going to destroy anymore. I gave you the rainbow as a sign of my covenant, which, by the way, that is what it will always represent. That is what the rainbow is. And we will never forget that. It's a good thing. The rainbow is an amazing promise from God that I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to walk away from you. I'm generous. I am here, and I am going to do something so good. I'm for you. Oh, I love it. The generosity of the cross and forgiving grace. Jesus showed extreme generosity by paying the ultimate price for us through humiliation, torture, and death. I know you're right now, you're just like, what does this have to do with money? All of this is painting a picture of a generous God, and it's going to reflect how we're going to reflect him. So what could be more generous than a perfect man willing to bear the penalty of people who ignore his presence, steal his glory, and rebel against his authority, and yet he still dies for them. He still does all this for them. Through the crucifixion and resurrection and the forgiveness of sins, we're given new life, and grace is just poured out on us. Not dribbled, not sprinkled, just poured out. Jesus wasn't just willing. He found joy in generous sacrifice. Again, Jesus always shows us how to live the fullness of life. Hebrews 12:2, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So he found joy in his sacrifice. And true generosity is never forced. It's never done begrudgingly. It's done more by joy than it is by duty. True biblical generosity is something we do. Man, this is going to hurt. It might be hard, but I do this with joy. I know it's what I need to do, which is why the Bible reminds us God loves a cheerful giver. The generosity of the Father's love. Not only does Jesus' sacrifice on the cross cancel the penalty of sin against us, God goes further. Through generous love, he welcomes us into his family. Through Jesus, that chasm of sin that has separated us and God, Jesus is like a bridge with the cross. You can imagine it, that now where we were once separated, we are able, through Jesus, to come back into family and relationship with God the Father. Man, he is our loving, personal, heavenly Father by his own generosity. The generosity of Scripture and the church. His generosity continues as he provides us with instruction, protection, transformation. He generously provides us with the living word, the Bible, with a community of believers, the church, so that we can be encouraged, challenged, guided, matured, and equipped. And we need it because we still wander. We still step over his boundaries. We cave to temptation. We live for our own glory. But then comes the generosity of the Holy Spirit. God generously fills us with himself through the Holy Spirit, generously gives mercy to those who are truly repentant. He generously pours out wisdom and power and clarity and peace more through the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. And then finally, the generosity of eternity. Not only does God generously bless us with spiritual riches here and now, but he invites us into an eternity that is beyond our imagination. So generous. In generous love, he opens the door of new heavens, new earth, where sin and suffering and sorrow are eliminated, and we will live in harmony with him and others forever. This is how we need to see things. God's big story is the world's best, most important generosity story. There is no one more generous than our God. There's no one more generous than our God. Sorry. This means that your hope in life and death, it rests on the fact that your God is an extremely generous king with a kingdom marked by its generosity of love and grace and forgiveness and mercy and faithfully supplying all that we need. We'll look at that picture again. This gospel of generosity, this is how we should view money. Again, it's not just my own little life, me and Jesus. It's no. I'm a part of something so big, and I'm going to insert myself into everything God is doing. I want to be part of what he's doing. And from that, it flows out, and that's what I want to look at. You see, the gospel of generosity, this is how we should live. It's not just be a good steward, stay out of debt, tithe, although yes, those are all great things. It's bigger than that. Money is not about personal need. It's about God's gospel agenda. And we are ambassadors here on his earth. Here's the thing. If you have bought in to following Jesus, sorry, it's not about just you and Jesus in any area of your life. If you're actually like, I'm all in, God's like, okay, everything I'm doing in the world, you're a part of all of it. And you're like, oh, okay, that's really big. But he's like, yeah, but it's going to be amazing. Watch. Come with me. It's going to be amazing. We should not think, and so even in money, we should not think of money, and I think this is important, we should not think of money as God's primary means of providing for us, and maybe I should give some away, right? Sometimes we think that. We shouldn't think of it as like, money is so that I am taken care of, and oh yeah, maybe then I'll be generous. No. Money, God's primary purpose for money is that we would be tools of his generosity mission on earth. Think like that picture there. We're a part of something big, and oh yeah, also, he provides daily for me. I'm a part of something really big, and oh yeah, by the way, God will actually take care of my needs as well. God promises. His promises to provide for us are all over Scripture. Here's just a few. Matthew 6, 31, 32. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will I eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. All right. Philippians 4:19. And this same God who took care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And Psalm 34. Those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. God promises to take care of us. In fact, it's important we see it this way because God has taken the primary burden of provision. I got to take care of myself. See, if you don't have Jesus, it's all on you. I got to take care of myself. I got to do this. I got to figure this all out. And God says, hey, I will take that primary burden of provision off your shoulders and place it on his own. He says, I'll be your provider. I'll take care of you. I've got you. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and he's promised to provide it, which means we are free to have a grander vision for our money. Again, every area of our life, but we're dialing in on money because it's an important part of our life. And it's important that we have a bigger vision of what he wants to do. Jesus came, and you've read this in the Bible, he came to set the captives free. But we think addiction and all these awful stuff. Do you know that he came to free you from the power of your wallet? Rescue us from our wallets and the hold it might have over us. Everything I do is based on how much money I have in the month or what I want to do with it or whatever that looks like. He came to set the captives free even from things like that. Generosity reflects God. And it also weakens the enemy's grip. I believe generosity is spiritual warfare. Yeah. Like we are fighting again. I hate the devil. I know you know that, but I hate the devil. And this is one other way we can just like punch him. That always distracts. I hate the devil. Okay, anyways. He's not going to get, right? He's not going to get us. I love the Lord way more, though. Okay, anyways, focus. Generosity is so important. Every act of generosity is a declaration that money is not my master. Money's not my master. Sorry. I am not Lord of my wallet. I'm not provider of my family. God is. Like, men, I think, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. You're not the provider for your family. If you are by your own strength, good luck. Maybe you're even doing okay. But I'm telling you something. When the Lord of heaven and earth is the one that is providing through you and you are walking in sync with that, there is power in that. We need to know that. Yeah. Priorities matter when it comes to money. If we start with ourselves, then we'll never escape. It's like, okay, I've got this much and I've got to take care of this and this and this and this. And then you get to the end and you're like, okay, and I got, here's 25 cents for God, right? That we could do that if that's our priority. But if we do what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, we seek the kingdom of God above all else, and we live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Priorities matter. I'm going to seek God's first, his bigness, everything he's doing, and if I'm in sync with him, he's got me. He's got me. Now, I'm not saying that magically it's like, if I do everything God does, he'll give me this much money or no. He'll take care of what, he knows what you need, and he's got you. He's got you. This is not a call to quit paying our bills or stop buying groceries. Rather, it's a call to examine our financial lives and make sure we have the order right. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. Since we believe that Christ died for us, we also believe that we have died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. You are a part of something bigger than yourself. We do not live for ourselves. We live for Christ. We do not use money for ourselves. We use the money we've been given and whatever to for Christ's purpose and his kingdom. And like anything in life, we need more than just a set of sound financial plans and advice. We need more than that. What we really need is rescue and surrender. We need to be rescued from ourselves by the powerful, gracious Savior, and we need to surrender to his wise and loving plan, even for our money. So, you see, you know, one of our taglines is, you know, this might get uncomfortable. Do you see why this makes us uncomfortable? Yeah. God is not asking you to give in the offering basket or to add a line on your budget for tithe, okay? God is inviting you to die to your own self-interest, to give up everything, to get treasure that you stumble across in a field or treasure you were looking through as you were digging through all the pearls. He's calling us to something bigger, and we live for God's kingdom. And we reflect that generosity. That's what we're supposed to do. We are reflections of God. Are we good reflections in every area of our life? This is an area of our life. Am I generous like God is generous? And I see it all the time in people in church. I thought of some examples. I know people who have brought coffee to struggling people. It's like, I'm just bringing you a coffee today. I know your favorite. Meal trains for new moms or people recovering from surgery. Gift cards for groceries for families in need. The food that we gather to give away, which we've got after service today, you know, we're just go out there, take what you need. Take what you need for others. Be God's generosity. Do that today. I can take this, I can give it to someone and bless them because that is what my Father in heaven does. I know people who've paid for Bible college students' tuitions, people who have left money taped to young families' doors. Why? Because it benefits them? No, it costs them actually. It actually costs them to do that. They did it to reflect a generous God who willingly sacrifices to care for others, to bring peace and reconciliation and healing and hope and purpose and all of these things. We know that God is generous. God is generous. Can you just say, God is generous?
God is generous.
We know God is generous, so we reflect that generosity to the world through our own hands. So how do we do that? If God's kingdom is generosity and the kingdom of darkness is all about consumerism and me and selfishness, again, I'm not saying you're not allowed to buy nice things for yourself, okay? Like, everything's a hard issue, right? But there's this battle going on. How do we fight that? Practical pushbacks to consumerism. So again, it's not about, I'm not allowed to own anything. It's about how do I make sure I'm in line with God and God has my heart more than money has my heart. Some practicals. Simplicity. Simplicity, whatever that looks like for you. Do you own your possessions or do they own you? Right? Simplicity creates some margin for generosity. Where can I just simplify? Do I really need this? Do I really need to do that? What would just get me back in line if I'm feeling a little out of sync with God? Two, tithing. Biblical principle of giving 10% of your income back to God. No, here's the thing. It's not like God is taking 10% and you're like, oh, well, you gotta take my money. He's like, it's not yours. Like, I am your provider if you're following me. If you're not a Christian, like, why would you give 10%? Like, yeah, I get that. You don't have no connection to God. But if you're like, I'm all in with you and it's all yours anyways, then this is just a tangible way that was given to us, a practical spiritual habit to make sure we stay in line. God, you are the Lord of my wallet, not me, right? And I'm trusting you. Tithing isn't a law, it's worship. It's teaching our hearts that God, not money, is our source. Another way is sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. I mean, the men in the parable, they sold all they had. Why? Because of the treasure of the kingdom. Man, there was something so much greater to be a part of that. And when God's kingdom becomes your treasure, sacrifice, whatever that looks like for you, sacrificial giving of your time, your income, I bought this for someone, I did this for someone so they didn't have to spend, like, whatever that looks like for you. When God's kingdom becomes your treasure, sacrifice feels less like loss, like, oh man, I had to bless that family. I know we laugh, but you know what I mean? Like, it feels less like loss, like, oh, that hurt to give that away, even though it was a sacrifice. And it feels more like an investment. Like, hey, God, you're going to take care of me anyways, but that's not why I'm doing this. God, I just want to be a part of what you're doing, trusting you've got me. And if you tell me I need to do this, I will do this. And I want to be obedient in every part of my life, including my wallet. It's very important. And then the last one, open-handed giving. What God puts in my hand is meant to flow through me, okay? So it is not this. I did this. This is my precious, right? Like, it's not that. It is an open hand. Every part of my life, God, this is radical discipleship, radical following Jesus. I want every part of my life to be open to you. And God, whatever you put in my hand, it can go through me. God, whatever you want to do, my words, the way I talk to people, my money, all of it, God, I want to be able to do that. I want to provide for my family. I want to care for the poor. I want to financially bless others. I want to invite friends over for a meal. We're going to get the best food because they're worth it. I want to invest in people, and I'm going to live a life of generosity. That is what we're doing. So today, this is more than, you know, just giving the offering. No, it's not that. This is a heart thing. Does God have your heart? Does he have every part of your life? Can we stand as we wrap up today? Does God have every part of your life? Generosity is the antidote to consumerism. Generosity is how we make an invisible God visible to our world. If he really is generous, how does a world who does not know God ever find out that there is a generous God who loves them and provides for them? Unless we show them what a generous God looks like by how we live and reflect. You are invited to lay your wallet down at the foot of the cross. Yeah, we talked about crowns earlier. I think Pastor Monica had mentioned that. And I don't watch FIFA, but I saw this thing where one of them at the end, maybe you've seen it, right? Like one of the soccer players, when they won, he kneels down and he goes like this and he takes the crown like that. And I was like, that is such a cool illustration. God, this is not my glory, my whatever. I am putting this at your feet. And I think it's the same heart posture for us. Or I lay this at the feet of the cross, or at the foot of the cross. God, every part of me is yours. The kingdom of God is worth giving up everything to obtain, whether you stumble in it in a field, whether you're looking through all the diamonds, the pearls, whatever, and I found it. It is worth everything. And we are called, even with our money, to become more like God. John 3:16, one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. We have a very generous God. And here's the cool thing I want to leave you with too, is we're going to wrap up in prayer. But because we are filled, with the presence of God, because we are filled with God's love and purpose and identity, and he calls us children and he says, come be part and reflect me. If that's true, then since in his generosity we become children of God, we can put our name in there as a reflection of his generosity. For Kea, so loved the world that she gave. And again, I'm not saying we are God. I'm saying if we are in the likeness of God. For Taylor, so loved the world that he gave. For you, so loved the world that you gave to be a reflection of Jesus. And you can have every part of my life, including my finances. God, I lay it all at the foot of the cross. Let's pray today. Can we close our eyes? I want to invite you. See, this is the beauty of following Jesus. It costs. It's hard, but it's amazing. And it always reaps incredible rewards for the world. And then, yeah, you as well. Okay? Today is not a generosity. Do this and you will be blessed. No, it's not about us. I'm a part of that bigger picture. And oh yeah, God will take care of my needs too. And I want to invite you, if you're here and you're like, I know that I just need to give my life to Jesus and follow him and trust him. Would you just join me as we pray? And would you say, Jesus, thank you for the price you paid, for coming and living as a perfect person, to be a perfect sacrifice, to die on that cross, to come back to life, to give new life. I want to follow you. I lay myself, all my desires, my burdens, at the foot of the cross. You can have all of me. Thank you for your kingdom of heaven, and that your treasure is available to us. And in our excitement, let us give up everything to obtain your perfect treasure. Let us live out a gospel of generosity and be a reflection to you. Be a reflection of you, sorry, to everyone around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.